Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title for our message this morning is Grace Be Unto You. I invite you to follow your sermon outline, which you'll find on the handout that was given to you this morning. As we said earlier, today is Trinity Sunday, and on this special Sunday of the church year, we could consider the deep mysteries of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, today's gospel lesson from John chapter 3 almost invites us to do so when it speaks of the Father who so loved the world, he gave his Son, and the Son who died on the cross to pay for our sins, who ascended to heaven to send us the Spirit who creates faith in our hearts. And many, many passages from Scripture could be studied this morning that lead us into the mystery of the teaching of Scripture of the God who is one being, but who reveals himself to us in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But instead, this morning, we'll focus our attention on just one phrase of Holy Scripture. Just one phrase. One phrase that expresses the very heart of our triune God. Colossians 4:18. Grace be unto you. Now, grace be unto you is much more than just a religious way of saying, it's all right. This overused phrase, it's all right, often really lacks any meaning or any comfort. A boy strikes out to end his Little League baseball game, and as he drags his bat behind him, his coach says, son, it's all right. A guest has been invited to your home and spills their coffee all over your brand new lace white tablecloth. And you say as the hostess, it's all right. A baby wakes up at night and a weary mother or father trudges into the room past that little bum and says, it's all right. Now, such a phrase can become for us just a cliche of reassurance or a trite pleasantry. But this is not the meaning of this biblical phrase, grace be unto you, that shows us the very heart of God. Grace be unto you is indeed what you hear from me Sunday after Sunday after Sunday at the beginning of every sermon. What do I say? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you know that 2/3 of the entire New Testament, the epistles of St. Paul, either begin or end with this phrase, grace be unto you. Here are just a few examples. Romans 1, verse 7, Paul writes, to all in Rome, loved by God and called to be his saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. From Ephesians 1, verse 2, Paul writes, to the saints at Ephesus, grace to all of you who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Colossians 4, 18, today's sermon text. Paul says, I, Paul, write this greeting to you with my own hand. Remember me in chains. Grace be unto you. Now, grace be unto you was a common phrase in the Greek culture of the day. People said those words when they raised wine goblets to make a toast. People said, wrote those words at the end of a letter where we write today, sincerely yours. But St. Paul infuses this common phrase with a brand new power and a brand new meaning. And here is the meaning of grace. grace is God's assurance that life can be all right when everything around you seems so wrong. How so? Only because God's grace is Jesus Christ in human flesh. Remember the John 3 gospel reading we read for today? Listen to these words. They speak of God's grace in human flesh. The text says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it goes on, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him." The reality of Jesus transforms the cliche of grace into the reality of Almighty God coming to our sinful world in flesh and blood. God comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ to make things right where they are precisely all wrong. He came to make things right between sinful human beings and a holy, almighty God. Grace can be seen, listen to it again. Grace can be seen as this: all that God does for us in Jesus Christ. Now, when I teach youth confirmation class, right, Maddie? Or when I teach adult instruction class, I often teach my class a simple way to remember what grace is by use of an acrostic. An acrostic is a set of letters when taken in order forms words. So here's an acrostic for you. Look at the big screen. Would you read it along with me? G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, this is easily connected to our triune God. God the Father wants us to have the very riches of heaven and the forgiveness of sins. This is only made possible at the expense of His precious Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died upon the cross to forgive our sins. And when Jesus rose from death and ascended back into heaven, He sent God the Holy Spirit, who would give us the gift of faith and nurture our faith and to deliver to us all of the spiritual riches of heaven through the preaching of the Word and the teaching of the Word and the giving of the sacraments. Grace is, say it with me again, God's riches at Christ's expense. But because we live in a fallen world, and here's where you really need to tune into the sermon this morning. Because we live in a fallen world, God's grace in our life does not make everything all right according to the standards of this life. Grace is not a ticket to Fantasy Island where the sun is always shining and it never rains. Grace is not a checkbook to pay all of our bills. Grace is not a magic potion to charm our lives. Grace is not a cure for all our diseases and our heartaches. Grace is not a guarantee of success in everything that we attempt. But the grace of God does enable us to look reality in the face and to know deep down in our heart, I am not alone. God is with me. God is for me. God will never leave me nor forsake me. Grace is God's bottom line, God's final word, His sure blood-bought promise that no matter what life brings my way, He is with us and for us. And by the way, God's grace is always 100% pure gift. It's never earned or deserved. God's grace is not given more to an A student than to a C student. God's grace is not given more to someone who earns $100,000 a year than to a person who makes only $20,000. God's grace is not given more to a lifelong church member more than a person who has just come to faith in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 puts it so very well. It was one of the key passages from our adult instruction class this morning. Those of you who were there, do you remember? Listen to what it says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by our works, so no one can boast. One final way to look at grace and a way to remember it. It's on your handout, your outline. We can look at grace in these three ways. Grace is pardon. Grace is power. And finally, grace is promise. First, grace is pardon. When you're honest with yourself and look into a mirror, you must confess along with me, I am a sinner. Each of us must confess. I have broken God's commandments. I have hurt others. I have hurt myself. I have tried to hide from God, and I cannot. There is a lot wrong in my life, and I am wrong, and I am sorry. Then what? Then, grace be unto you. Grace is pardon in Jesus Christ. It's forgiveness. Why do you think Jesus went to that old rugged cross? He went to the cross to buy for you the forgiveness of sins, to pay for your sins, to give you pardon, to give you forgiveness, to give you a new start. And look at the altar this morning. This is God's delivery system. This is the way He delivers to us today what He won for us 2,000 years ago upon that cross. In, with, and under that bread and wine on that altar, make no mistake about it, is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you. Why? What does the liturgy say? For the forgiveness of sins. And this Holy Communion, this Lord's Supper, is pure gift. Pure grace. And in it, God delivers to us the very riches of Christ at the great expense, that great expense paid on Calvary's cross. God's grace is pardon. The next, God's grace is also power, the power to change and to transform lives. I wonder how many of you here today are familiar with the old musical drama, The Man of La Mancha. The main character in this wonderful musical drama, The Man of La Mancha, is a man named Don Quixote. He's a very unique man and a knight riding not on a shining steed, but on a donkey. And many people think Don Quixote is ridiculous as he rides on his little donkey set out to conquer the world. But Don Quixote had one very powerful ability. He was able to change people's lives and make them be better than they ever thought possible. In this drama, Don Quixote met a woman named Dulcinea. In a tavern, a seedy little bar. Dulcinea was not a fine woman. Everyone in that little town knew she was bad, and they treated Dulcinea like a hopelessly dirty sinner. And because she was treated like this, She saw herself like this and acted the part. But then Don Quixote rides into town on his little donkey. And he looked at her through the spectacles of God's grace. He saw in her a woman loved by God. He saw in her a splendid woman. He broke through the judgments of the majority and declared her to be a noble person worthy of God's love. He looked at her through the spectacles of grace. And he spoke to her of her worth and her beauty. And when she embraced the grace with which Don Quixote embraced her, she began to feel and know the power of grace to change someone's life. She was transformed and she became what Don Quixote saw. Now, certainly, God is not some fictional character in a musical drama riding a donkey. Yet the power of God's grace does change and transform people. God's grace changed Peter the denier into Peter, the head of the first Christian church. God's grace changed Saul, the Christian killer, into Saint Paul, the greatest of all the apostles. God's grace in Jesus Christ changed Thomas, the doubter, into Thomas, the fearless evangelist and the martyr who gave his life for Christ as the apostle to India. Now, my friends, this morning, no matter what is wrong in your life today, are you listening? No matter what is wrong in your life today, God has not given up on you. Today, He invites you to come to Him and place yourself into His hands. Submit to His powerful, transforming grace. Ask Him in prayer to make you to be the person He wants you to be. How does God see sinners like you and me? Only through the spectacles of grace because of the blood shed for us on the cross. God's grace is pardon. Thank God. God's grace is power to change. Thank God. Finally, God's grace is also promise. Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, the final words He spoke on this earth before He ascended to His Father in heaven, He said, "And I am with you always unto the end of the age." And in Romans 8:31, we read, and try this one on for size this morning. Romans 8:31 says, "If God is for us," and He is, "who can be against us?" The promise of grace is this: we can live today as if all will be right tomorrow. We can do this only because God is with us and He is for us. And it's not some gambler's hunch. It's a sure promise written in blood, the blood of the cross. Amazing. And by the way, we're almost at the end of our sermon. Why do we call God's grace amazing? Why do we even sing a hymn called Amazing Grace? It's because God's grace is contrary to human reason. God's grace is contrary to common sense. Hard-nosed common sense says this: you are too wrong to stand in the presence of a holy God. But pardoning grace declares humble repentance brings full forgiveness. Realistic common sense says you are too weak to ever change for the better. But powerful grace declares in Christ all things are possible. Plain common sense says you're in a hopeless rut. Things will never get better. But promising grace declares you can trust God for a better tomorrow. Now, I said it earlier in the sermon, and this is how we'll end. The grace of God is God continually doing for us in Jesus Christ all that we need in this life and for the life to come. Amazing! And it is amazing because it's ours whether or not we deserve it, whether or not we recognize it, and whether or not we even appreciate it. Because of Jesus Christ, nothing can cut God's grace off from you. What a thing to celebrate this Trinity Sunday! Grace expresses the very heart of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, what's there left to say? Just one thing. Grace be unto you. Amen.